Tonight is the night, of love.
What's
forever
happening tonight?
Never is never enough. My friend yelling, she's got the sniffles, and she took a 12-hour nap right on a sofa.
You all, I set my alarm for 20 minutes. I believe in the power of a power nap. I am able to do it. I set my alarm. I pop back up. I do it all the time. Y'all, I woke up almost 2 hours later. My phone died. I was 7 minutes late to record. I can't even believe I got up when I did, Joseph.
Start the music!
He's mad! I'm just kidding. He's not mad at all.
Looking at you right now, all I want to say is, my God, the dead has a roof. Name that movie.
Color Purple.
Thank you.
The Color Purple.
Hello, down bitches. How's everyone doing? I'm great.
Yes, I am Joey Taranto, and across from me is Elaine Stritch.
Listen, I've been smoking for 143 years. I'm trying to be better. Oh, God, don't conjure her. It's too early in the episode. No, no.
And you drank wine from a box.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to I Think Not. Joey already did the intro, so you know who we are, but welcome to our podcast, the podcast where we record at all hours of the day. That is actually true.
It is. Tell them what we also do.
We recap your favorite true crime TV shows, and like I told you last week, this is a special month, y'all, because this is Joey's favorite true crime TV show. That's right. We are giving you 1 month of I Almost Got Away With It. How do you feel, my love, about getting to do your favorite little silly true crime show?
I love it so much. I almost got away with it. At the last minute, I got caught. Oh my Lord, I wanna run away, but the police caught up with me and now I'm rotten in jail.
Okay, that's good, my love. That's what we're doing. But I just wanna say, we have been back from another leg of our tour. We had a wonderful time. I gotta say, if you were in Seattle, you got to meet our editor, Rick Kwan. Rick, say hi to the people. Find a microphone in that studio of yours and say something so that they know we don't lock you in a cage and make you take out all of our breaths.
Everything's under control. Situation normal. Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
It was so great. Rick came to our live show. Last time we were live in Seattle, he had a newborn, so he just stayed for a quick hello and a hug, but he got to see our show when we brought him on stage and told everyone how important Rick is to us. Y'all, we love Rick Kwan. He is the nicest man. I can't believe we make him do what we make him do. We're awful people. He's so nice.
He loves it.
He is the third member of this traveling circus, so if you were at our Seattle show, number one, thank you for coming. We had a freaking blast, but you also got to see our Rick live and in person, and we just love him so much.
We sure do. And if you'd like more of us, you should head on over to Patreon, where we're doing the Lord's work. We have tiers for everyone and everything you could possibly want. We have ad-free episodes. You get our back catalog. We cover shows like
Fear Thy Neighbor, Pink Collar Crimes, Love, Honor, Betray, Who the Bleep Did I Marry? More I Almost Got Away With It. Deadly Women. Southern Fried Homicide.
Oh, Southern Fried Homicide.
See No Evil, one of our favorites. Deadly Wives, not to be confused with Deadly Women. City Confidential. Frogging, one of our favorites, and more. Y'all, there is so much ready for you to download and binge, not to mention our true crime adjacent episode of Love After Lockup. And you can even get a tier where you sit in on our talk show that we call Swamp Talk, or as other people know it, Cry Cry Boo Boo Trauma Dump Hour. And that is a talk show where Joey Taranto and I talk for 6 to 7 hours about all of our problems, and we cry with you. I'm making it really sound fun.
Yeah, who doesn't want to subscribe to that in 2024?
And don't forget, on Sunday the 14th, we are having our very first painting at home party, where we do an ITM themed painting party. You have a glass of wine or an edible or lemonade, and we all paint together. There's so much over on the Patreon. Go ahead and look www.patreon.com/ithinknot. Shall we get to the episode? Joseph,
did you just say www?
You always say that to me when
World
I say that.
worldwideweb.patreon.com/ithinknot.
www.org/edu.
.org. Yes, we should get to the episode. Let's do it.
Season 6, Episode 3, Got to Pose as a War Vet.
A teenager poses as a war hero to scam women, banks, and businesses.
This is a GT grant.
Man, that's how much the military can do for you.
You gotta tell me if it's sexy or not.
Yeah.
He could look at you straight in the face and make you believe anything.
As the fake soldier's crimes grow bigger, he gets bolder.
We're talking about $300,000 fraud here now.
But when authorities pick up his trail, can this conniving crook handle the heat?
Step out of the car.
Well, the show opens with a man saying the key to being a successful con artist is memory. Well, then I'm fucked because you have the memory of an elephant and I'm like fucking Guy Pearce in the movie Memento, where he has short-term memory loss and he has to tattoo his memories on his body. That's me. Something happens and 30 seconds later, it has left my mind never to be recovered. I blame weed and gay trauma.
You guys, should I be a con artist? He said the key to it is memory. I was like, have I missed my calling?
I think you might have. Well, y'all, it is the summer of 2007. Do you know what the biggest song of the summer was that year?
Complicated.
Nope, you're a few years late. Hit it!
That was 2007?
That was 2007.
I would have guessed that was 2015. I have no concept of time.
Well, especially after you take a 12-hour nap. Spider-Man 3 was the number one movie of that summer. I never really got into those movies, but I tell you, I do love slinging some web.
You are disgusting. I don't know what happened to make you be the way that you are. I feel bad. I feel like you should unpack that with your therapist.
Honey, I've been unpacking it for years. Anyway, we are in Willard, Ohio, and 17-year-old Jared Durr comes from a military family, and he's trying on his father's uniform and sort of fantasizing over what it would be like to be a military man.
But he doesn't have the discipline to be in the military, and he always got in trouble. And Jared's dad, David, is here. Number one, that's adorable that you have a dad. By the way, we went to go see Let's Go to Court live show in Kansas City. It was fantastic. We wish them the best. But Brandy Pond did say to us, I don't mean to brag, you guys, but this is my dad. That fucking took me out. I was like, you bitch. I don't mean to brag, you guys, but this is my dad will forever be one of the best quotes I've ever heard in my life. But Papa David, have you ever met a man more, number one, regretful to be on the stage of I almost got away with it, but also just disappointed? Everything he says is dripping with disappointment. He's like, I don't know why I'm here. We don't claim him. I don't know him. He's like, he was just one of those kids. He was a bad kid. He is the meanest dad I ever met. I mean, granted, he is a dad and he's there, which is, who the fuck knows where my dad is, but he is dripping with disdain.
I was waiting for him to be like, he gets it from his mother's side. You know, it never came.
Jared was one of these kids that thought he knew it all. He was big-headed, you know. I guess he thought the world owed him a favor.
Do you remember being that age and thinking you actually did know it all?
Yes, my dad used to say, why don't you go out and make your first million while you still know everything?
Right, but like, and then I'm thinking, like, now I literally think I know it. I literally don't know anything. I have regressed. I thought I knew everything, and now I actually wake up. I'm like, wait, is my name Ellen? I don't know. I don't know that for certain. I haven't seen any documentation.
You know what's so funny, though, is when my dad told me that, I think I was like 14, and my therapist said, Joey, do you know that a toddler makes better decisions than a 14-year-old? A toddler will be like, no, no, don't do that. You'll get in trouble. Or, no, no, you'll get hurt. Don't do that. A 14-year-old is like, I can do that. I'll be fine. I'll be just fine. I was like, oh my God, that makes perfect sense. That was me at 14.
That is my daughter right now.
Well, lucky you, Ellen with a Y. So Jared goes to a gas station and he asks to pay for gas with a check. Remember those days?
Remember checks?
I know.
My mom used to write a check for everything. My mother wrote a check every Sunday for $5 to put in the, what do you call it?
Collection plate.
Did you guys have that on a stick? and it went down all the pews?
Yes, when you tithe, for tithing.
That's so embarrassing.
You give 10% of your income to the Jesus.
Yeah, and my mom used to give $5 and she would write a $5 check. And I used to think $5 was so much, which it was, because we were fucking poor. And I didn't realize my mom did that so that the church could keep track so that we could get a scholarship to go to school there.
What?
Yeah. My mom was like fucking planning. She's like, I've been giving to the church for forever. Look at the checks. Look at the receipts. Screenshots. Timelines.
Your mama was plotting and diggy-doing in that church
pew.
She
was diggy-doing. She's like, look back. Look at how much money I've given this fucking church. Give my fucking kids a scholarship. I can't afford these goddamn pleated uniforms.
Well, gather around the campfire, children. Back in the day when you didn't have cash or a credit card or a debit card on you, you would write the amount you wanted to give on a piece of paper and sign it and date it, and then hand it to a cashier and hope that it would not bounce.
I know that sounds like a little IOU, children, but this was wild times. You could find a piece of paper and just say, I promise, this is worth $5, and your word was good back then, children, because nobody lied in the olden times.
He quickly devises a scam using his father's checks.
Hey, can I write you a check for some gas? I just filled up outside.
We don't normally take checks.
Oh, really? Oh, shoot. I don't have any cash on me.
So he tries to pay for gas with a check. And the clerk's like, we don't really take checks. And your name isn't on this check. So Jared's like, oh, don't worry. I'm on the account. Mind you, he's 17. Did we mention he's 17? And Jared says, oh, you can call him to verify. And she's like, great. As a matter of fact, I will. So when she calls, he goes, by the way, while you make that call, I'm just going to go use the restroom. Well, the clerk doesn't know is that the number he gave her is to his cell phone. So she calls, Jared answers, and he poses as his dad, and it works. Also, this moment birthed an addiction for Jared because he loved the rush of committing crime.
I wrote, this woman is stupid. That's all I wrote in my notes. Like, he's like, in the very moment you're making that call, I'm gonna go step outside.
Listen, this was above her pay grade, but eventually Jared ran out of the checks that he stole from his father. So Jared opens up a bank account with only $5, which I don't think you could do now. I think it's got to be $100.
I think so, too. And this wasn't that long ago. Like, he's like, keep the change. Just hands over a $5 bill. Also, are $5 bills still a thing? I digress. Go on.
Anyway, Jared is writing bad checks left and right, and it works for a while until the Willard Police Department shows up at his house and they arrest him in his parents' kitchen.
I love this reenactment.
Oh, yeah. It was
because
good.
The reenactment guy is in the kitchen because the disappointed dad is like, he arrested him right in my kitchen. And reenactment Jared is like, Dad, ow, these cuffs hurt. Dad, they're arrested. Dad. It's so, and he's like, well, you get what you get and you die. Dad, oh my God, these cuffs hurt. Oh my God, you guys. It's so funny. And the dad is non-pulsed.
And none at all. He went to the same acting school as Nathan Lane, where he studied for The Birdcage.
Yeah.
You know everything because you're a man, and I know nothing because I'm a woman.
You're not a woman.
Oh, you bastard.
Joey, guess what?
What?
Quince is back. Listen to me now. I do not use fast fashion. I have clothes all the way back dating from college. Yes, me and Betsy Ross were sorority sisters. Quince is here to transform the way you shop because they have a range of high-quality items, and you all know I'm going to bring you the best prices because I love to find the best prices. We're talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50.
Who would have thunk? Also, let me tell you, Quince has something for everyone and any aspect of your life. Y'all know I love the gym. I love to work out, and I destroy my gym clothes. But Quince has these really great performance tech shorts that I love. Also, you can wear them in the sun and they won't. You know how sometimes the sun will bleach your clothes?
Mm-hmm. It's called fade, my love. Keep going.
Thank you so much.
Kind of like our youth. Carry on.
Well, Quince's Performic Tech Short has sun protection. Also, they stretch like a dream for when you're squatting and plotting.
Mm, Okay, more on that later. Listen to this, everyone. Turn the volume up. Quince partners with top factories. They cut out the cost of the middleman. That is how you are able to get great savings. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. This is something that is very important to me, and I have researched myself, and that is a reason why I bought so many Christmas presents this past year from Quince, and I have a bunch of essential pieces from Quince. When you're building a wardrobe, you want to think long term. You don't always want to think what is trendy and hot, but what is going to last over time. Quince has it all.
So indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/think for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/think to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quince.com/think and send me pictures of what you buy and then buy me one too. JK, or not. Okay, love you, bye.
Dad! And he was arrested right there in my kitchen.
Hey, you don't need to push me, all right?
All right, I'm not.
You did it to yourself, son.
And then it goes into juvenile charges for felonies.
You write bad checks, you do the bad time. You write the good checks, you have a good time. Don't pay the dominoes with money you ain't got, or you will end up pissing in a prison pot. I just wrote that.
You're a gay Lin-Manuel Miranda, I tell
you. I think I'm Stephen Sondheim reincarnated. Anyway, he's a minor, so he goes to juvie.
Just for 45 days, though, which I thought was a little bit of a light sentence. If Rabia Chaudhry were here, she'd be like, Ellen, you want to incarcerate everyone. But while he's there, he makes it his personal mission to create a whole new identity.
Yeah, he's developing a new character. He's working on his material.
If you had to make a new character right now, babe, do it. Where would it be from and who would it be? What's your who, your where, your why, and your how?
Okay, here we go. Okay. Oh, you really put me on the spot.
My name is Margaret.
Something you all don't know is Joey gets called in a lot to do cartoon voices, like for cartoons and video games. And he'll be like, can you just read this with me? I need to practice this voice. And his voices are amazing.
Thanks, babes.
You always think of, like, remember you were that mad scientist and you were like, well, I don't know. I was like, this is fucking genius.
Thanks, honey. Well, now you put me on the spot. I'm trying to come up with one.
My name is Carlos, and I'm from España. And I recently moved here from Barcelona simply because I love slathies.
What did you say?
Slathies.
I'm sorry. I still can't hear you. What?
This is what you call it in the States. It is a slathies. Where you freeze the drinks, and then you drink them, and they give you very cold brains.
Well, just from cold brains, are you saying slushies?
That's exactly what I said. I said a slushies.
What is your name again?
I forgot. But I am from Barcelona.
Wait, do you know why they speak like that?
No.
This is, you're going to think I'm lying, and I'm not, hand to God. Why don't they stay on topic?
Inbreeding.
No. At some point, it's called the Castilian accent, right?
Okay.
It's because the king at the time had a lisp, and he, like, ordered that everyone speak like that, or everyone spoke like that, to not make him feel out of place. You don't believe me. I see it in your eyes. Google it.
While inside, Durr reinvents himself.
I said, screw it. I'm going to go and get me a military uniform, get some dog tags made, make some fake IDs.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I'm just trying to do my part.
And present myself as an actual U.S. soldier.
Easy as pie.
Easy as pie. And to get pumped, he listens to his favorite song every morning. Hit it!
Must be swift as a coursing river, with all the force of a great typhoon, with all the strength of a raging fire, mysterious as the dark side of the moon.
Do you know who sings that song?
Donny Osmond.
Yes.
Of course I know. A very inappropriate Asian person, but let's get down to business.
To defeat the Huns.
Now, see, here's the thing. You have to remember, Jared comes from a military family. His father was in the military. He had cousins in the military. There was a lot of military. So he knew how to carry himself. He knew the lingo. He knew how to conduct himself as a soldier.
I know soldier talk. Test me. Yes, Sergeant. Okay. I know military talk. Don't worry. I have dog tags. I'm in the expecting military bets.
Don't fucking worry. I am always standing at attention.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, oh, Captain. Yeah. Aye, aye. At fucking ease, batch.
Oh, yeah.
So now the purpose of him posing as a military man was twofold. One, Jared gets to live the military life that he always wanted to and definitely can't now because of his criminal record. Go on, say it.
What do you do? I'm a military man. I'm just a military man.
In the Navy.
If this is someone's first episode, they're never going to listen again.
I know.
And they're going to write us a 0-star review. Please don't.
And the other reason is because Jared wanted a fresh start as a respected military man. So in October of 2007, Jared gets released from juvie to live with his family.
He gets to work setting up his alter ego, Iraq veteran and war hero Eli Carter. First, he needs to look the part.
You can actually pre-order military uniforms as long as you had military ID. I actually took a copy of my cousin's.
He sets up some new checking accounts which have nothing but a Buffalo nickel in them. He gets pictures in his military uniform to use for his new driver's license, and Eli Carter is born.
Easy as pie. And so he gets right to working. He gets on a little old World Wide Web and he starts making fake internet profiles saying how he's a returned veteran. He just got back from Iraq and he's really kind of out of sorts but trying to pull himself together, and he could really use a warm body next to him. He makes up this whole fake persona to get women. Or as he says, he likes to impress the females. I know you can't hear it from where you are, but I just threw up in my mouth and swallowed it. And so Officer Matthew Gorski is here, and he said he was finding hundreds of women online and sending him this whole fake military sob story.
He's like, you know, I just came back from Iraq. How's that booty crack? It was poetry. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah, it sadly worked on me a couple times.
But. Yeah, and there were people falling for it.
His dad, again, disappointed dad, is like, he was talking to like 50 or 60. It's so many girls he was talking to. This man wants to be anywhere other than this fucking interview talking about his fucking tragic son.
So we hit April of 2009. Jared is now 18, and he comes across a woman named Teresa Sloan, who is an accountant in Bucyrus, Ohio.
Which was about 25 miles away. She had a motorcycle. Did that woman look like a woman who rode a motorcycle?
The reenactment actress or the actual Teresa?
Either one, but I was talking about the real Teresa.
Yes, absolutely.
That woman looked like she drove a Kia Spectra. She did not look like she had a scooter, let alone a motorcycle. You think that woman looked like she had a motorcycle?
Listen, you never know. You can't judge a book by its cover, baby. You never know what people are doing behind closed doors. They could be making donuts in their living room with a motorcycle.
You're absolutely right. You don't know who's a military man behind closed doors. You don't know who's ready to take orders at a moment's notice. Teresa Sloan is here, and she says,
online, Jared seemed to be a soldier. He said he was from, I think, North or South Carolina, and he just got back. I definitely would say the whole man in uniform thing is what attracted me.
What's the opposite, honey, of like lubrication? What does the opposite of lubrication?
Dryness. Dry.
Yeah, but what is the thing that makes, okay, whatever, it makes my vagina want to be sewn shut.
Are you
not
joking?
Like,
a man in scrubs could get it.
No, it's fine. Scrubs are maybe the one thing, but like a man in uniform, he's like, hey, ladies, I hear you need me to put out a fire.
Can I just tell you something?
Yes, I know I have had sex with several firemen. What?
No, a uniform does it for me. Like a military uniform, a cop uniform.
Go to Party City. What does
fireman,
it do for you?
I don't know. It's just, this is something about it. And they do hug the tush.
You want to be saved? Yeah.
It's really because women just want to be saved. When Samantha hooks up with that firefighter and Charlotte's like, it's really because women just want to be saved.
That's all I want. Honestly, thank you for letting me come out with my truth, you all. I really just... Thank you for letting me share that.
I don't care. Even if you work at the fucking Wawa, I don't need your uniform. So after 2 weeks of online flirting, they decide to meet and they go out for beers. And then they end up back at Teresa's house. And Teresa's house has this really weird fabric over the lamp that I can't stop staring at. Because remember, this is the worst set decorating there's ever been on television. And reenactment Jared looks like the worst kisser there has ever been on the planet. When I make a reel of this for Instagram, it looks like this man was forced to kiss his sister on the mouth.
Also, the thing I noticed was it was like the director said, okay, you guys are going to pretend like you're about to have sex. Just have fun with it. He is literally throwing her around like it's his little brother and they're wrestling. It's so weird. I was like, this is not sexy. But don't worry, because Jared comes in and says,
I ended up rocking, knocking, kicking the boots.
Rocking, dock, and kicking the boots. Sir, you look like someone whose idea of a good time is eating dirt and crank calling old ladies. What are you talking about?
What's wrong with prank calling? Also, did you just say crank calling?
Listen, we've had this fight before. I'm not doing this with you.
We've talked about this before?
Yes, you can say crank calling.
You walk these streets saying crank calling?
You can say crank calling.
Oh my God, the South is so weird. What did he say? Rick, will you play it again?
I ended up rocking, knocking, kicking the boots.
Rocking, dock, and kicking the boots. Anyway, I'm using it from now on.
Also,
anyway,
to any man who describes sex like that, sir, I would have more fun being chased by a grizzly bear than having sex with you. Sorry. Rocking docks and kicking the boots. Anyway, so the next night they hang out again at a local bar, and this time Jared invites his buddy named, wait for it, Joker.
Joey, I had to rewind it because I'm deaf in one ear, and I was like, this isn't real. This isn't real. I didn't have the subtitles on. Joker.
You can't make this shit up.
It's like Mike Seaver's friend named Boner.
Yes.
How did that get on TV? How did that slip through the cracks of our nighttime television routines?
Well, because Kirk Cameron was so conservative. I mean, he had his love interest, Julie, kicked off the show because he found out she posed for Playboy. But it's okay to have your best friend be nicknamed Boner.
Boner.
Anyway, so Jared tells his friend Joker, call me Eli, not Jared. And by the way, I'm a military dude, so don't blow my cover. And Joker is like, oh, fuck yeah, bro. That's so hot. Yeah, bro. You're going to get laid tonight? You're going to fucking knock those boots and rock that dock? Yeah, fuck yeah, bro. Fuck, okay, all right. Oh, yeah, fuck yeah, bro. I'm in for this, or my name is Joker.
Oh, God. You all know I love a backstory. What's the backstory on that one? Whatever. So poor Teresa goes to the ATM and he's looking over her shoulder at her ATM code. Y'all, make your ATM code something fucked up. Her ATM code was like ATM code. It was 777s. It was 27 sevens. And he was like, well, that's easy enough to remember. Remember, he has a really good memory.
How did you know her ATM code? I was over her shoulder and I remembered 777. I think I'm a genius, is what I think I am.
I remember to remember things all the time because I have a really good memory.
I'm remembering right now.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Take it away, Joey.
Y'all, I am so excited that Factor Meals is back. Listen, I do not like to meal prep. I do not like to cook. The most energy I have when it comes to cooking is popping in the microwave for 2 minutes and then having my din-din. Factor makes it so easy. Also, their meals are delicious.
They are chef-prepared meals, and they go to your table in 2 minutes. And you know what I say? There is nothing like fooling your kids into thinking you are a chef and you prepared those meals. These are gourmet meals. You can get premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, asparagus. No fuss, no mess. They eliminate all of the hassle of prepping and cooking and cleaning up. I do like to eat right. I really do. I just don't always have the time to cook. This ADHD brain, it turns 6 o'clock before you know it, and Factor is always there for me.
Also, they make it so easy. You can make Factor meal work for your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. You can pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Their app is so easy to navigate. It really just takes one thing off of my plate.
And this deal is one you do not want to miss. So whether you want to prep your meals ahead of time like Joey or fool your kids like me, head to factormeals.com/think50 and use code think50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code THINK50 at factormeals.com/THINK50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Please no one tell my daughter that I pass off Factor meals as my own cooking. Thank you. Goodbye.
Lola!
2 weeks pass. Durr finally sees his chance.
About 11 o'clock, I tell her, look, I got a headache. I'm going to go get some aspirin. But I know she's got that debit card in her purse. Snagged the debit card.
Apparently, Teresa doesn't keep Advil in the house. And he heads out, not to go get Advil, but to go to that ATM.
That's right. He grabs her debit card, takes her car, drives to the nearest ATM. He checks the balance and sees that she has $4,472.08 in her account. He recites that number and he's very excited because he wants to show how big brain he is. He remembers that number.
He's really good at remembering that he has a good memory. How would Bobby Lynn say that number?
You know, it's me that you mentioned that. Because that is my jackpot Powerball numbers. $4,472.08. It just rolls right off the tongue. I can say it again. You want me to?
No, thank you.
It's $4,472.08. And I'm going to win the Powerball. People ask me all the time, what's your retirement plan? You got a 401k? I say, no, it's Powerball.
What if you don't win the Powerball? Because you know it's just luck.
You know, I don't want your bad juju on me, okay? Because you can't even wake up on time, okay? All right. Your house could be on fire. You'd still be asleep.
That is true. The refrigerator repairman came again today, and I slept through the doorbell this morning.
I'm sure the refrigerator man did come again when he came to your house.
What does that mean?
I think you know.
That my refrigerator has broken 2 times in 2 months?
Because you're a nasty woman.
Because my refrigerator broke?
Yeah, because you said the refrigerator repairman came.
Okay. Bobby Lynn, we've gotten way off track on this episode. You need to go.
And you need to eat my ass. Hey, take a Sprite and leave.
Jared makes 2 transactions. The first one, he's like, I'll just take $20. And then he's like, you know what? I need more than that. And he takes another 80. So he steals $100 in total because I know what 80 plus 20 is. And that is 100 because
good for you.
I can do math. And so again, Jared gets that dopamine hit from the act of thievery.
I get back to the house. I sneak back in quietly. I'm like, God, please. I don't want her to wake up. Put the debit card back inside of her wallet in her purse, climb back into bed.
And the next morning, everything is fine.
Everything is fine. She's like, I'm going to go to work. You keep my car all day. You have fun. I'm going to go earn money. You sit here like the big military man that you are and have fun. And she goes right to work and she's just pointing and clicking through her bank statements. And she's like, those are 2 transactions I absolutely did not make. One for $20, one for $80. I know what 80 plus 20 is and that's 100.
Yeah. And she's like, she says, I never make ATM transactions at a foreign bank. I was like,
I don't either. Do you know why?
Because you get charged.
Yeah, I'm not paying you to give me my fucking money.
Jesus, here she blows.
Absolutely not. $4.50 for an ATM fee. Fuck your ATM fees. I know exactly what Teresa was talking about. I would never take out money at a bank that wasn't my bank.
Good for you. Do you feel better now?
Plan your day better.
So Teresa is distraught. I mean, she let this man in her house. He's driving her car. You can stay all day. And two Color Purple references in one episode. And so her coworker is like, call the cops, go to the cops. And y'all, Teresa goes to the police station.
Yeah, she's like, hi, I have been duped. I have been with this guy for 2 weeks. Now, the first red flag should have been when he said he wanted to knock down the docks and knock out my boots or something like that. But it was, okay, listen, I'm not, my boyfriend stole my money.
And the second red flag was that he has a best friend named Joker.
Now, this is really weird because Jared and Joker are just driving down the street and in her car, which is one of those, like, it looks like a Scion, one of those box cars.
Yeah.
Where did those cars go? Anyway, and he's like, wait a minute, that's Teresa's motorcycle outside of that police station. How very weird. She must be turning me in for stealing the $100 from her ATM. I always think they really like cut corners on these stories. There's got to be more to that story, right?
I wonder too, because you just happen to drive by the police station and see her motorcycle outside. Very weird. Well, here's the thing. Teresa gave Officer Thomas Walker, the man who was taking her statement, the name Eli Carter.
I tried to look up Eli Carter through our state computer. Had no hits whatsoever on it. I assumed that this was an alias that he was using.
So Teresa basically says, I mean, he's back at my apartment right now. Should we go ask him if it's a fucking alias? Because that's what he told me his name was. So let's go there and find out. I'm sure that's going to work out really well, Teresa. Let us know. So he realizes that she's on to him. The jig is up.
Mm-hmm.
Brings Teresa's car back, puts the keys in the car, ditch the car, and they basically are going to make a run for it. Because he doesn't know what she knows, but he knows that she knows something.
Yeah, and these dudes are running. But the thing is, Joker doesn't know Jared stole money from Teresa. He has no idea why they're running.
Joker didn't know anything, baby. Joker doesn't know anything. He allowed his name to be Joker.
He doesn't even know his real name. But he wasn't going to stop to start asking questions. Let me tell you, if I'm in New York City and I see a crowd of people running, I'm not going to stop and ask questions. I'm going to run in the same direction as them.
Right.
So Teresa and the officer get to the apartment. Jared is obviously gone. Teresa calls Jared. He's not answering that call. Now, the boys end up at a gas station trying to call a cab, but the cab's like, it'll be an hour. Sorry.
Listen, if there's anything I know about those small towns in Ohio, you're gonna wait an hour for a cab.
You are.
Yeah, that's what happens. I know. Everybody knows that.
And so then friend Joker gets a call on his cell. It's Teresa. She got his number the first night that they hung out. So Joker answers and Teresa's like, hey, where are you guys? And Joker immediately gives them their exact location. And then he goes, who is this, by the way? That was the wrong order.
Someone calls you, where are you? Well, right now, I'm on the corner of Vine and Oak. I'm wearing a red sweater. There's nobody around. It's terribly dark. There's not a light in sight. I'm all by myself. Why? Who's this?
Yeah, what the fuck? Hi, hello. Give me your ATM code. Oh, sure. It's 7777. By the way, who is this?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Poor Joker is, his name fits.
And so Jared is like,
no, God, please, no, no. No!
And he was like, was that Teresa? Did you just give her our 411? Did you just give her the deets of where we are? Joker has no idea what's going on. He's like, I don't even know who that was. But also, why are we hiding from Teresa? What the hell is going on?
Joker has had enough of Durr's drama. He takes off. Seconds later, Teresa pulls up.
Hey.
She's alone, or so Durr thinks.
I remain covert. Stayed back a little bit.
Hi, are you okay?
She's like, hey guys, what's going on? Where you been? Joker just told me where you were. Nothing weird. Hi, missed you. How was your day?
Yeah, and he's thinking, oh, maybe this is nothing. Maybe I should just, maybe I can get to knock the dock or kick her boots or whatever the shit it was. So he gets in the passenger seat and they're talking. And then lo and behold, that Officer Walker pulls up behind him, goes up to the window, and he's like, get out of the car. And Teresa's tune changes so fast. She is like,
fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
Yeah, I would be like, fuck you too. I was doing fine. And then you showed up. I let you in my house. I let you drive my car. So Jared immediately admits to stealing Teresa's money and he gives up his real name. I was like, you didn't put up much of a fight.
I also love this reenactment actress because she was like, oh, hey, how are you? And then the cops come and he's like, get out of the car. And she's like, yeah, get out of my car. It's like, good on you, babe. You were really channeling that inner rage. She did a great job.
Oh, yeah. She was holding on. She was waiting for her moment. She's like, I'm going to. She did the old switch and bait. And switch. What am I saying?
Switch and bait. Welcome on down here. Get your bait at the switch and bait. You can switch up your bait. Sometimes you need different bait. You can switch it at any time. You can turn in your bait. You can rebait your bait. We will return your bait. You can switch your bait. Listen, customer service is not dead.
Would anyone like to play Toe Tac Tick?
I love golfing miniature style.
Hey, I don't know if you know, but Friday night we're going to be playing ball volley. It's really fun. We should do that.
No, seriously. Joey, you have to finish this recording. I have to go play ball baskets. Joey, guess who's back?
Who?
Apostrophe. Here's the thing. I think right now, skincare products can be really overwhelming and complicated. That is why I am so glad we are partnering with Apostrophe and they're a sponsor of this episode. I've been using Apostrophe for about 2 years, and it is all so simple because it is done all online and you have an expert dermatology team that's going to give you customized acne treatment for your skin. There are so many products. Don't you get overwhelmed?
Yeah, I like my skincare like I like my podcast partner. Tell me what to do. Right. Tell me what to use. Don't make me think.
Bossy, but helpful.
Exactly. And through Apostrophe, you can get access to oral and topical medications that use clinically proven ingredients to help clear acne. And we're not talking just acne on the face. We're talking all kinds of acne. If it's on your back, if it's on your hiney, if it's on your chest, they've got something to help you.
And acne can come from so many places. There's hormonal acne, facial acne. And let me tell you, as someone who is on camera all the time or taking pictures, even if you're in a family photo, you feel so much more confident when you feel like your skin is healthy and you just feel good about your skin. There's nothing vain about it. I just feel so much better with a skincare routine that is easy and streamlined. So it doesn't matter what your skincare goals are. Some people might want to combat adult acne. Some people want to reduce dark spots or improve overall skin texture. I am telling you, Apostrophe is the way to go.
Yeah, it is. And we have a special deal for our audience. Get your first visit for only $5 at apostrophe.com/think when you use our code THINK.
That's a savings of $15, and this code is only available for our listeners.
To get started, just go to apostrophe.com/think and click get started. Then use our code THINK at sign up, and you'll get your first visit for only $5.
Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode, and don't forget the sunscreen, everyone!
Tell me what to do, Apostrophe.
Durr admits guilt immediately and gives up his real name. He is arrested and booked for felony theft.
I can't believe it.
I said I'm sorry already. I'm going to tell you.
Hours later, David Durr bails his son out of jail.
Y'all, his dad, the inception of the disappointment, he literally rips him a new asshole, not just for the theft, but also for impersonating a military man. Like we said before, this is a military family. They have a lot of pride in being in the military. And so for him to do this, it's truly like a slap in the face.
Since you mentioned slap in the face, disappointed dad he's so disappointed that he's exhausted.
Yeah.
Because on this interview, he's like, I felt like I could have slapped him in the face.
Yeah.
He is there's nothing left in that tank. And the disappointment has turned into utter ambivalence.
Truly. Also, don't hit. You cannot hit. We need to teach children your feelings are valid. Your actions are not always valid.
I can't imagine what my life would be like if my parents gentle parented me. Like if my parents reined in their energy and like they didn't hit me. And they were like, Ellen, now when you do that, it makes mommy and daddy feel rageful feelings.
You would have been like, I don't give a fuck how you feel. Now give me my crayons, you old cunt.
Where is my dad? Anyway, so his dad was like, listen, I bailed you out. You cannot leave this house. You will stay here. You will play Parcheesi with your mom. You ain't going anywhere. So he's like, great. I'm going to get online and look for another woman. And lo and behold, he finds one. Now, reenactment, Jared, is actually pretty cute.
So cute.
And one of my favorite pastimes is looking up the reenactment actors and seeing their acting history. He was just in an independent film at the Santa Barbara Film Festival. Congratulations. But real life, Jared, he honestly looks like a cross between Beaker from The Muppets and a Big Mouth Blowfish. And he's ginger. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me to my face that I'm wrong.
Honestly, the accuracy is what is like, that's actually a perfect description of what he looks like.
Because it looks like Beaker got lip injections. Because he's got big lips.
Meep, 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 meep.
This guy is not hot. This guy is swimming in the three pool. But he keeps getting so much But does
he? He sure does.
I ended up getting back on the online chat and actually met another female from North Carolina.
He smooth talks his new pursuit with his now detailed story of being a wealthy war hero.
And his new prey, Brittany, falls for it hook, line, and sinker.
She is from North Carolina, and she's a nurse, and somehow, some way, she lives in the exact same apartment that Teresa Salone lived in.
It's like a little clue.
Did you notice it's the same apartment?
I did not. I think they use the same apartment in every episode.
Can you throw a blanket somewhere? Can you just try just a little bit? Can you throw a poster on the wall to make it look like a different one? Do these people think we are new to the earth?
Sweetie, they're like, you get what you get. I'm sorry that your ADHD makes you notice everything, but we are working with a buffalo nickel. Okay? So this is what it is.
Hey, my name's Brittany. My roommate is in another state, but her name is Teresa Salone. It's almost like an inside joke at this point. I feel like I'm on the production team.
Well, you should be on the production team, and they will hate you. You're like, you guys, just to switch it up, I'm going to dress up as Mrs. Roper and come in here in a red wig and a caftan. If we're just going to do this, it's going to be fine.
Do you know, you can remodel an entire home at Home Goods for $100. I'm sure they didn't have that, but you can also return it.
So now Brittany, like you said, is a nurse in Forest City, North Carolina, and on June 8th, 2009, Jared jumps bail in Ohio and flies to North Carolina, where he will sleep on Brittany's couch in the home she shares with her parents. So 2 weeks go by, Jared and Brittany decide to visit a car dealership.
Because what says I love you for two whole weeks more than car shopping?
With his girl on his arm, he visits a dealership.
He could talk you into anything. He could look at you straight in the face and make you believe anything.
Now, Jared, again, he has two cell phones. He told the whole story about being in Iraq. He writes a check for the car, and he's like, go ahead, call and verify. Hold on, can I use the bathroom? How does this work? These people are stupid. I am at the point now where I'm like, if you fall for that, Mishigas, you deserve for this con to be pulled on you. The guy says, give them a call, goes to the bathroom, uses the other cell phone. He's like, hello? Yes, that man has tons of money in his bank account, governor. Absolutely. Let him get that car.
Hello, you've reached the Bank of Australia. Yeah. G'day. No, the funds are all there, babe. No, the shrimp on a barbie. Yes, right. You're terrible, Muriel. Go ahead and run that through. yeah, it's pretty bad. And so now Jared actually has stolen business cards from a banker, and he just changes the number on the card so that it reflects his cell phone number. So it does look legit to a car dealer who's just desperate to, you know, sell a Maserati. That's not the name of the car. What
Maserati?
Is it?
Maserati?
I
think you mixed Mazda and Miata together and came up with Maserati.
Ellen, listen to
what,
me.
What, baby?
I woke up at 8:45 a.m. to do this nonsense with you.
You were doing the lickety splits all night.
I was not doing the lickety splits. Listen to me. I am hanging on. Could you just give us a second? Just give us a second. We'll be right back.
Just turn off your radios for a minute. Your radios? Everyone's got a radio.
Listen. Now you listen here, Ellen.
What, baby?
I am hanging on by a thread.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I have barely sipped my coffee and I found a gray pube this morning. Don't fight with me. I'll kill you. I will make it look like an accident. Mm-hmm. You know how they say they almost got away with it? I mm-hmm. will get away with it. Mm-hmm. And you will be just a memory mm-hmm. that exists in the minds of people.
People will look for me, though. Like, they will look for me.
Nobody's looking for you. I will pose as you. I will get on this here radio and I'll be like,
hello! I'm Ellen Marsh! Welcome!
And I'll just go back and forth. You know I can do it.
I love you so much.
I will find a bird's nest in a tree and put it on top of my head and take two watermelons and put it in front of my chest, act like I got big old titties, and I will walk around posing as you, and no one will be the wiser.
That is really fair. I love you, and you scare me.
The clever con then writes a check for $60,000.
I present myself like money's not nothing.
He and Brittany both drive out of the dealership with new cars.
What the fuck? This man is getting really bold. He turned into Oprah. He said, you get a car and you get a car. We all get cars.
Yeah, everyone is passing out cars. I need new friends.
What you need is a lozenge.
I really do. So then 2 weeks pass and he gets a call from the dealer. And the dealer was like, oh, hey there, guy who bought two new cars with a check. That's no big deal. I need the VIN number off of your car. And of course, Jared is always scared that he's going to get caught because the house always wins. So he drives by the dealership to make sure there's no cops or no unmarked cars. And there aren't. So he pulls in to go talk to the dealer. He walks in and sees that the dealer person is talking to the authorities. And this was all a setup. Baby, you don't get cars for free.
Also, why the fuck would you go in and be like, oh, you need the VIN number? I'll come in. Just read him the VIN number. You don't have to drive in to give him the VIN number. Your brains are in your dick.
Yeah, and your dick is in your brain sometimes. You never know. So on August 24th, 2009, he is placed under arrest. But these authorities are so stupid, they deserve what is coming to them. He gives them the wrong birthday, the wrong social security number, so that his charges in Ohio don't pop up when they run his background. They're like, cool, whatever. He's just a first-time offender. He's just a silly goose who wrote a couple of bad checks. Give him 5 months in jail. And that's what he does.
And then the clever con artist makes good use of his time inside.
I don't understand here. I mean,
he offers to help his cellmate with some paperwork.
He's so generous, honestly.
He really is. The cellmate is all... But Jared is all...
Another one bites the dust.
That's right, because Jared has stolen this man's information while doing his paperwork to steal his fucking identity. So Jared is really going for it now. He is perfecting the art of being a criminal.
Listen here. I have done a lot of things in my life, but the thing that I'm really good at is being a bad guy. It's criminal how good at being a criminal I am.
You guys, I don't want to brag, but crime is my art. Some people like painting. Some people like dance. Me, I love crime. It's what I do.
And I'm going to sing a song about it. I've been a bad, bad girl.
Oh my God, I fucking love Fiona Apple. She's so fucking fierce.
So now we hit January 20,000. I have to go. We're canceling the show. We're done. The show is canceled, y'all. I'm so sorry.
It's January 20,000.
I don't know about you, but Goldschlager for breakfast is delicious.
Is it January 20,000 yet? I love that year.
So we hit January 2010. And Jared is released from prison. And 8 days later, he is running from his parole. That's right. He is jumping bail again. And Brittany, the girl he came to North Carolina for in the first place, she doesn't want anything to do with him. And she's got her own song for Jared. It goes like this.
Hit the road, Jack.
And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more.
So he needs a place to live. And he's like, well... I can always go to
Joker.
Because nothing says I'm a dummy like being friends with another dummy. And we made a career off of it.
So
Joker
lets him stay with him. And he goes right to work making false documents, opening new accounts, all with his former cellmate's information.
He has mastered the war hero scam.
There was just such an addictive way of life. I'm 18, 19 years old. I'm getting away with cars that are worth $20,000, $40,000, $50,000,
$60,000. Well, we can take this one place.
They treat you like you're just like on top of the world.
He is making it rain. We see reenactment Jared slowly throwing at least six $1 bills in the air.
Hot.
He's like, one, two, there's more where that came from. Three, four. He's like, who? Guess what? We're getting Arby's value meals, bitches. He throws chicken wings all over him.
So hot. Because nothing says I want to clap these cheeks on your nose like a crisp $1 bill. Listen, y'all. He really is playing up this military thing, like a war hero, because he's like, you know, you get so much respect. I will say, if I'm standing next to a uniformed military person, I will say thank you for your service. Because
I do too.
Despite what anyone's opinions are about the military or war or the government, like, these people put their lives on the line.
Absolutely.
And I have no problem saying thank you for your service.
One of our down bitches, Crystal, she just served for 22 years in the Air Force. She came to see us at our Kansas City meetup. I mean, it's amazing what people do. Yeah, absolutely. No matter what your opinion is about anything, of course, I always say that too. If I see somebody in uniform, I always say, hi, thank you for your service.
Honey, and Crystal's husband, I had the best time making him uncomfortable all night.
He is so sweet.
He's so cute.
He wrote me the sweetest letter.
Did he?
Yeah. There was a picture that I had from us at Obsessed Fest. Anyway, Crystal, we love you. And anybody who's listening who's part of the, do we say armed services? Is that what we say? The military? What do we say?
I don't know.
Well, we love you.
We do love you.
But not this guy.
No, we don't. This guy's
not for realsies.
No, this guy, he's for fakesies. I'm sure that Jared really enjoyed the attention and the respect he got parading around in that uniform. So now he's blowing like $5,000 a week. How? I have no idea. More bad checks. But the man is spending, buying, clubbing, and living his dream. However, it also means that he is constantly on the run, running from state to state, Ohio, Wisconsin, Florida, no surprise there. And he was able to elude the cops constantly.
Because he was setting up accounts in all these places, and then once he felt like the authorities were on to him, he would move on to the next location. And so then
Joker
calls him one day and says, hey dude, like, you're wanted everywhere.
February 8th, 2010. It's been a month since Durr ran out on his North Carolina probation for the car theft charges. He's back in Ohio after ditching his latest vehicle. While prowling the internet, his next conquest catches his eye.
Guess what he's doing? He's tip-tapping on the computer, shopping for a new woman. And he finds one. Her name is Jennifer Jones, a 22-year-old college student. And the police says they found each other on a social networking website. Hinge, Bumble, Tinder, a social networking website.
It was on Facebook. Okay, we know it. And so Jared made it seem like he knew some of Jennifer's friends, so she sort of felt comfortable with him. So he's peddling that same old story. Just got back from Iraq and I'm new to the area. Would you like to have dinner with me? And Jennifer says, I'll do you one better. No dinner, just come over and we'll watch a movie. And of course he hops on this and he's like, I'll be there in 2 hours. I need to make a stop real quick. That's right, he stops and he buys himself a 2006 Jaguar XJ, hoping to impress her. Oh, you can buy a car and that quickly?
Yeah, you just go in and you just write a check.
Oh, great, got it.
Yeah, you just go in, whatever you need, you write a check. And you sign it, and then you write, this is good, this is money. You write, this is money.
Uh-huh.
I've done it like 4 times today.
Amazing,
so, yeah.
Love it.
So shows up at Jennifer's house for their first date. I'm putting in air quotes. Also, Jennifer clearly has never seen a true crime documentary. And he pulls up, and so does her dad, and then her mom. And she's like, hey, oh my gosh, meet the family, first date. So Jared introduces himself with his whole fake resume, tells him what he's done and all of his accolades and how his grandfather left him a shit ton of money. This is just his way of winning over the family. Now, I know this kind of guy. It's kind of like my dad. You know, my dad was like a charmer. But real life, Jared can barely string words together. I don't understand that this is not fitting the mold of the charmer guy that I would have in my head.
I kind of disagree. I think that he is very confident and he committed to the bit. You know, there are people you forget who can just lie on the fly and really.
No, I've met them. I know them.
You've dated them.
Yeah.
No, but it's kind of terrifying. Those people are literally terrifying. And Jared is one of those people.
For the next few weeks, Durr works hard to win over Jennifer and her parents. Using the empty accounts he created in his and his cellmates' names, he takes Jennifer on lavish shopping sprees.
Here's my question. If you have this alias, why are you opening up accounts in your name? Don't you think that's going to catch up with you eventually?
You know, I think he just got sloppy.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what we see all the time with con men. They just get sloppy.
And
I think
cocky.
They just stop.
Sloppy and cocky.
Sloppy, cocky, and poppy, because they like take dance lessons and they learn to pop and.
Can you show me your popping again? I would like to see that. Go ahead.
Pop and lock.
Let me see that pop. Now, that's more of a titty bop is what you're doing.
Okay.
And so all the time, he's just writing bogus checks left and right. And the family actually loved Jared so much so they were like, our daughter Jennifer, she should marry you. I'm like, if y'all only knew, because this man has no intentions of marrying anyone. In fact, Jared's big plans are buying a house.
Can we just go back for 1 second? This reenactment actor has gotten to make out with so many girls, and I can't stress enough what a bad kisser this man is. Did you pay attention?
No, I usually don't pay attention to reenactment kisses because they usually are disappointing.
It's just like someone is falling into his face accidentally and he's not reacting to it. It is so uncomfortable. I can't actually focus on the story, and neither can anybody else who's listening. Please just watch. So yes, he goes to buy a house. Now remember, he's written checks to buy her clothes, tanning, because everyone needs that. Well, some of those checks obviously bounce faster than others. The fastest check to bounce is the smallest check, and that is for $23. At the tanning salon.
Honey, the tanning salon was like, we don't play around here. You want to use our raise? You gotta pays. Wow.
You worked hard on that.
You gonna pays for our raise.
How are you not in marketing?
I think I'm a poet.
A local tanning salon made this complaint to us that they had a bad check for like $23.
Sergeant Gorski has no idea of the magnitude of Durr's fraud.
I just checked the address on the check. There was a family that was living at this address by the name of the Durr family. And one in particular was Jared Durr. He was a 19-year-old male. And I checked his criminal history, and sure enough, there was some fraud on there.
Using his family address was truly fucking stupid.
So then they called disappointed dad, and they were like, hey, we see your son here. Did you know he was writing bad checks? He's got a criminal record. And the dad was like, what now? I don't know where he is. Is he doing something bad? What's he doing? He's very disappointing. I don't know what to tell you. Now, Jared is living his life, you know, with the bills, throwing down for tanning and Buffalo Wild Wings all over town, and has no idea that they're running this background check from the bounce check from the tanning salon. And he is like talking a big game trying to buy this house. He's like, you know what? I really like this house. It's got that southern exposure. It's got that crown molding. I'm going to buy this house. I'm going to write it on this paper check, and that means it's money. And so how much is it? $303,000? That sounds doable. Here, let me write it on this check.
This man is not thinking clearly, because eventually that check will bounce and they know where you fucking live. You are flying by the seat of your fake military pants. They're going to show up and be like, did you enjoy that crown molding for 2 weeks? Get the fuck out. And so Jared is thinking, fuck it. I'm going to do this and take my girl Jennifer out tonight.
Durr's plan is to trade the title of the house to a bank for a lien and get a portion of the home's value in cash. But Sergeant Gorski is about to ruin the party. He's found Jennifer Jones's address from the tanning salon agreement.
He's about to shut this shit down.
Jennifer's getting ready to go to Popeyes to celebrate their new house that they bought with paper. And there's a knock on the door. And they were like, is this the police? The police are here?
La policia.
Anyone call for the police? Of course, Jared knows exactly why they're there. And he is panicking. He overhears them say like, hey, do you have a boyfriend? Do you know where he is? Jennifer's like, yeah, he's in the kitchen. We're about to celebrate our new house we bought with a paper check. And Jared calmly is like, listen, the jig is up. I need to get this off my chest. I have been passing off fake checks, and I don't know what to do. Of course not. He bolts out the back door.
Y'all, Jared's got a new theme song. It goes like this. I broke the law and the law won. That's right, y'all. He's out that back door quicker than you can say ba with the ba, da bang, diggy, diggy. And now he is booking it with Sergeant Gorski running after him. Y'all, Jared had somehow evaded this guy. However, he did scratch up his legs on some barbed wire, and that shit had to hurt. Then he fell into a ditch, and now he's hiding in someone's backyard, and they are definitely home. And so all Jared has on him is his cell phone, which is about to die. And he calls his dad. He's like, Dad, I'm on the run. I'm barefoot. I'm cut up. I'm in a ditch. I'm in trouble. It's someone's backyard. I need you to come and get me. And he hears his mom in the background saying, tell him to turn himself in. We're sick of his shit. I don't care if his legs are scratched up. I don't care if he's sitting in the ditch in the mud. I'm sick of his shit. I'm tired. I can't even watch Wheel of Fortune in peace.
Wait, what the fuck?
We are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. We'll return to our program shortly.
Well, Joey was mid-sentence and we just had an earthquake. I feel like we should say something, like we just had an earthquake.
I've never experienced an earthquake before.
I know. I mean, I don't know why I'm excited about that.
But
that
I was like,
weird.
Are they doing work upstairs? I don't understand what's happening.
Same. And what's so crazy is we were recording and I looked back at the video and you can kind of see everything come to our brain in a really slow way. I'm from California. I did have earthquakes growing up, but I'm also getting my deck removed today. And I was like, are those bastards starting without asking and talking to me first?
Yeah, it was kind of scary. I feel like Carole King.
I feel the earth move under my feet.
Joseph.
What, was that too soon?
We're okay. We're fine. We'll continue on with the episode. You were in the middle of screaming about Wheel of Fortune or something.
Yeah, well, anyway, Jared's dad, David, is like, listen, son, we can't help you. We can't get you out of this. You need to turn yourself in. It's time. And Jared has a moment. He has a moment where he's like, is it time to throw in the towel? Spoiler alert. It's not.
But what does throw in the towel is his cell phone battery and his phone dies. So we've all been there.
I hear dogs. I hear choppers, helicopters. I'm like, oh, man, this is crazy. I got everybody looking for me now.
It's Gorski.
Sergeant Gorski immediately calls for backup.
Jared's plan is just to start hopping fences in people's backyards, which leads to a main road. And y'all, he gets away.
So the cops go and question the Jones family. And they were like, no, nothing weird over here. He bought a Jaguar right before he came over and he paid in full for a house with a check. Nothing weird. Everything normal. Everything checks out.
So y'all, at this point, the charges are just stacking up. And now Sergeant Gorski is determined to catch Jared. But he doesn't know where he is. So 3 weeks after this, Jared is back to hustling and pretending to be a war vet. He's living it up while he can, but he's so paranoid now. He knows it's going to catch up with him, but he's like, I'm just going to enjoy my free time while I can. And actually, I should make a plan so that I can escape for good and they'll never catch me.
Then he heads to Wisconsin to go get a car, like you do. And he wrote another check for a Mustang, another day, another car. He's like, great, I will use this sweet Mustang with Wisconsin plates to get me back to Ohio. Now that takes us to April 16th, 2010. And he's like, you know, I really need to relax. I really need to take a load off. I just need some time to decompress. I'm gonna check into a bed and breakfast for like 10 days or something.
So he writes a check for $2,000, which we'll cover the 10 days in that bed and breakfast. Brother, you know, it doesn't take that long for a check to clear. You're not really thinking this through. So, of course, 6 days later, that check bounces, surprise to no one. And of course, the owner of the bed and breakfast wants to see Jared. And he's like, oh, listen, I'll be there in the morning. I'll make up the difference in cash. Okay. And so at this point, Jared calls his old friend
Joker
and asks to crash at his place.
And Joker was like, you're a
Joker,
bro. He's like, I'm not getting involved. There are two people you do not mess with. You do not mess with the IRS and you do not mess with independent bed and breakfast.
No, you don't.
Because those bitches were like, you know what? You didn't show up here with the cash. I am calling the sheriff's office. Bed and breakfasts are not fucking around. Not in this economy.
Yeah, don't fuck with small businesses.
The bed and breakfast contacts the Crawford County, Ohio Sheriff's Office.
Yes.
Detective Chad Filiator takes the call.
They had, you know, told me that the fella's name. I did an NCIC check on Jared Dern, found that he was a wanted person.
He is opening up a Pandora's box of fraudulent charges. And he sees that Jared has been doing this in Ohio, North Carolina, Florida, and Wisconsin. And he's like, the fuck? I gotta get this guy off the street. Now, the clerk who ran the bed and breakfast does give the cops an important piece of information. She's like, he is driving around a brand new Mustang. And the cops are like, great, we can use that to our advantage.
So it's April 27th, 2010, and the police are driving their beat, and that's police talk for driving around. And he sees a Mustang, and he sees a man in the Mustang, and the man is talking to a woman, and he's like, I think for the sake of really streamlining this story, we're going to assume that's Jared Durr. So he pulls into this sort of like little parking area and traps him there. And he's like, put your hands up, put your hands outside of the car. And he's like, Jared, put your hands outside of the car. I know it's you. It's a Mustang. Come on. We got to get this done in 42 minutes with commercials. And actually it was
Joker.
And Joker was like, what the fuck is going on? This poor
Joker.
Somebody needs to get him a clue, some kind of a Mensa test. He's not okay.
Honey, it's not his fault. He's just living up to his name. Y'all, don't borrow a car belonging to a man who has committed more fraud than a former president, and you can take your pick of former presidents. There's a lot.
This is a stolen vehicle, sir. Where is Jared Durr?
I don't. He's at my house.
Is it your house?
Yeah.
Patrolman Walker has Joker take him there. He calls for backup.
And the cops do the weirdest thing. Well, at least the reenactment cops do. They, like, huddle up. They're like, okay, guys, let's huddle up. Let's get down on the ground and huddle. Let's sit crisscross applesauce and talk about what we're going to do. This guy's committed a... What are you guys doing? They are actually sitting in a circle outside of Joker's house, going to find Jared, and they're like, he's committed a lot of fraud. Isn't this stuff you should have talked about on your way to go and get the bad guy who's committed all the fraud, who's written all the checks, who's stolen all the cars, who looks like Beaker who got lip injections?
It looks like a prayer circle, y'all. They're like, we're going to do some spiritual warfare because today we're going to have divine intervention.
I want everyone to be safe. I want you all to be safe. I want you to lead with your hearts. I want you to lead with your souls. Everybody be safe out there, okay?
We just want to thank you, Lord. We're going to plead the blood of Jesus over us right now. Thank you, God, for guiding our feet and guiding our guns. Anyway, meanwhile, inside, Jared's in Joker's apartment playing Super Mario Brothers 3. He's just about to save Princess Peach, but he has no idea that his Peach is about to end up in prison. Did you see what I did there?
I did.
Thank you so much.
That's adorable.
So Jared hears some rustling outside. And keep in mind, there's only one entrance and exit, and that's through the front door. So Jared goes to look outside the window, and he sees cops everywhere. They have tasers, they have guns, they have Jesus.
They look like they have had a meeting about this.
Yes.
They look like they are ready. I feel like this is organized, and I feel like I am under attack. He's totally trapped. He is completely surrounded, and
Joker
told him, he's like, there's no way out. He's in there. So he goes and does what Joey did for 20 years of his life.
He hides in the closet.
I'm so glad you came out of that closet, baby. We love you so much.
Some people might ask me to go back in, but I won't. And so the cops walk in. They had permission from
Joker
to enter the apartment. And y'all, they're basically like, Jared, we know you're in here. Come out, come out, wherever you are.
Jared, come on out.
I recognize the voice.
Come out.
As Mr. Walker.
Durr remembers Officer Walker, the cop who arrested him for scamming Teresa Sloan.
You thought you were going to get away with it?
Come on.
Officer Walker.
Dang, y'all got me.
He said, you already know the routine. I said, dang, y'all got me.
Yeah, buddy. You had a good 3-year run. No more bad checks for you. Also, why is your name on your checks and your parents' address? Sorry for asking stupid questions. $23 for tanning. That's expensive. Was it worth it?
Was it all worth it?
So after being arrested, Jared has spent time in jail in Wisconsin, North Carolina, and Florida. And Jared says, I'm serving out my time now. My plan is to walk the straight and narrow when I get out. And his father, David, says, you know, I really think he's changed. And I think he understands what he's done. I think he's young enough that he can make the necessary changes.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see if he did that.
Well, I can help you with that. Jared Durr was released from prison in April of 2013. I did some diggy-doing on the interwebs.
I know you told me, and I was like, I want it to be a surprise. Your turn.
I went to www.google.com, and turns out in May of 2018, Jared was indicted on 3 counts of passing bad checks, 1 count of identification fraud, all while serving a 2-year prison sentence. In July of 2018, he entered a guilty plea and received 15 months in prison. And finally, in October of 2023, Jared was also charged with forgery and unauthorized use of a computer. So he did not turn a new leaf.
Mm-hmm.
He did not take a page out of Celine Dion's book when she said,
what do you say to taking chances?
on a new life. He is a career criminal, and it's just really sad. It's really sad. He never got out of that. I really do think he was addicted. I think he was addicted to that dopamine hit that he got, because he talks about it a lot, how much he loved the rush of committing crime. I'm like, but wouldn't the rush of going to jail kind of like kill that other rush? I don't know. I mean, prison's a big price to pay for that dopamine hit.
It really is. And like, the house always wins. And he's not that smart because he's gotten caught so many times. Like, he got away with it for a little while, and you can get away with it for a little while, and then that's when you get sloppy and that's when you make mistakes. But my man Beaker, he's blown up a lot of laboratories.
Yeah, it's true. It's sad. Y'all don't commit to a life of crime if you ain't smart enough to commit them.
Yeah.
I'd probably do anything with the way that I was carrying myself back then. Then again, consequences come in at the end. And that's where we are today. Consequences.
And that's where the episode ends. How long was his last prison sentence?
I don't know, but I would imagine it's a lot longer because he just has so many charges now.
All right, well, we've been through a lot on this episode. We've been through an earthquake together. Get it? Because it was a...
Shake that podcast. Shake that podcast.
Yeah, listen, we were just sitting in our offices and there was a
whole lot of shaking going on.
I could do this all day,
yeah,
honestly.
I mean, listen,
we're just going to make Rick keep finding clips on the internet.
You've heard of stop, drop, and roll. Well, we decided to
shake, rattle, and roll.
Yeah, that was wild.
Joey, say something funny.
Another thing I found on www.google.com was an interview with Jared Durr talking about his experiences in prison. Should we roll it?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Play it, Rick.
Meep, 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 meep. Beep, beep.
Wow, riveting.
A bead of gold, but I'm down and down, but I'm out and down, la la la, earth move under my feet.
Thank you, Down Bitches. Thank you for listening to I Almost Got Away With It. We have two more episodes. Don't forget, there are hundreds of episodes over on the Patreon. We have our paint party coming up. We had movie night last week. We watched Death Becomes Her. We have a movie night once a month. We have all kinds of fun stuff on the Patreon. That is there starting from just $5, going all the way up to our elite boxes of merch that are going to be going out in May, which I am so excited about.
Me too.
I know, Joey doesn't know what's going on. It's the girls have been doing it. Harris, Ash, la 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 la, and I have been putting together these amazing elite boxes for you. We cannot wait to send them out. Wherever you land on the spectrum of being on the Patreon, we sure do appreciate you. But don't forget, whatever happens, wherever you are in your life, we will always be here for free on the general feed. And come see us on tour. We have a couple more dates. Tell them, Joey.
We are going to Hotlanta, Raleigh.
Don't.
Shut up.
Don't. Everyone from Atlanta will hate you.
We're going to Indianapolis and Nashville, and we're working on a couple more dates. Don't worry, those exact dates, times, ticket sales, all of that will be coming in the very near future. We love touring. We love getting to be big dummies on stage, and we love getting to hug and kiss all of you after. It really is so meaningful.
And not for nothing, I think our show is really fucking good. So come and see us. We love you so much, Down Bitches.
We love you, DBs, and I love you too, Yellen Marsh.
I love you, Joey.
Love you.
Bye.
Oh, fuck, it was an earthquake.
The blooper reel's gonna be great on this episode, Rick. I'm telling you.
My God, this is how Les Mis started. Help us, Lord.
I dreamed a dream.
And never woke up. Cut that, Rick. Cut that.
Rick is going to put his two children through college with all of the things that he has deleted and put in a file called Blackmail Ellen and Joey.
Yeah.
You know, one day we should do the show where we read each other's notes because our notes are so different. Mine's just like an outline.
Mine is a fucking deposition is what it is. Nope.
I heard the harmony when I third above the harmony.
Lana! Oh, you sure did.
Yeah.
Because I was going a third above what I normally sing, and I normally sing a third above the melody.
Look at me. We are nerds.